أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, in our last session I talked about the definition of morality. I said that morality, according to Islamic moral scholars, is a set of habits or qualities that automatically result in good or bad actions. I also pointed out that there is another terminology in Islamic ethics, that is the science of morality. The science of morality is a branch of practical science that studies these habits and these qualities, and then it helps us to acquire these habits and to acquire these qualities, or to shun these habits and to abandon these qualities. Today I'm going to talk about the different kinds of morality. In Western moral philosophy or ethics, scholars have divided morality or ethics into two main branches: meta-ethics and normative ethics. According to Western moral scholars, these two branches of morality are very important and they are very much different from each other. As far as meta-ethics is concerned, it deals with the nature and the essence of moral propositions. It tells us what, for example, good is and what bad is. How can we differentiate between good and bad? This is the responsibility of meta-ethics. Meta-ethics helps us in discovering the nature of goodness and the nature of badness. Once we know about metaphysical ethics, or you can say meta-ethics, then we will be able to differentiate between good and bad, and we will be able to know what is the nature of good and what is the nature of bad. Of course, there are different approaches and different schools of thought. Some say in the West that we can find out the nature of goodness and badness by divine words. This theory is called the divine command theory. According to this theory, it is God, the Almighty, who can tell us what is good and what is bad. We cannot say, based on our own intellectual faculties, what is good and what is bad. And we are not able to understand what is good and what is bad. We can understand good and bad by the help of the words of God. God the Almighty tells us what is good and what is bad. This is called divine command theory. This theory is a very old theory. It began by Socrates and continued up till the present. There is another theory about the nature of goodness. According to this theory, it is the emotion that is defining the nature of goodness and the nature of badness. Goodness is what you like, and badness is what you dislike. Look at your emotions. Look at your likes and dislikes. Look at your preferences. Look at your emotions and feelings. What do they tell you? Whatever they tell you, that is the right criterion for finding goodness. If you feel that something is good, then it is good. And if you feel that something is bad, it is bad. This is what the emotions tell us to do. And yet there is another school of thought called cultural relativism. According to this school of thought, it is not God who defines goodness and badness, and it is not emotion that defines goodness and badness. It is the culture and the social norms that tell you what is good and what is bad. If you want to know about the nature of goodness, go and live in your society and try to understand and to know the norms that are prevalent in your society. Whatever the society tells you to do, that is right and that is good. And whatever the society tells you not to do, then that is bad. And try to stop doing it. And since the societies are different, and since the cultures are different, therefore, the morality can also be different. And therefore, they say that we need to subscribe to relativism, because culture differs from society to society and from people to people. For example, something is good in Europe, while it is not good in Asia. And something might be good in China, but this might not be good in South America. So different societies produce different moralities and different ethics. So whatever the society tells you to do, that is right, and whatever the society negates and rejects, that is bad, that is awful, and that has to be rejected. So this is also another approach in ethics. Yet there is another approach that says that morality is defined by self-evident truths. In other words, morality or goodness and badness are based on intellectual truths and self-evident truths. It is self-evident truths that tell you what is good and what is bad. It is not the culture and it is not the society that is responsible for defining morality. What defines morality and what tells you about the limits and the borders of morality, it is the self-evident truths. So these are the different approaches, or you can say some of the different approaches and meta-ethics. But this, as I said, there is another branch of ethics in the West that is called normative ethics. In normative ethics, again, we face different approaches and different schools of thought. Some are of the view that we must try to support utilitarianism. And they say that it is utilitarianism that is the best theory in this connection. In normative ethics, as I pointed out, is telling you about the instances of goodness. Goodness is defined by meta-ethics, but it is instances, and it is examples are shown by normative ethics. And normative ethics is also supported by different schools of thought. Utilitarianism is one of the schools of thought that supports this approach. According to utilitarians, you need to do what maximizes good. Do whatever that maximizes good. And stop doing whatever that diminish the good. For example, you want to lend money to somebody. This is a practice, a social practice. Look, is it beneficial? Does it produce any advantage? Of course, if it produces physical advantages, measurable advantages, then do it. And if it does not produce any benefits, if it does not produce any good, then stop doing it. So the criterion put forth by the utilitarians is very clear. Look at the utility it produces and look at the benefits your act produces. There is another school of thought that is actually contrary to the utilitarian type of thinking. It is deontologism. According to the deontologists, you must not look always at the benefits and at the utility of something. Instead, you must also look at your duty. Something must be done, not because of its consequences, not because of the advantages you earn, but because it is good in itself, or it is bad in itself. For example, killing an innocent person. Killing an innocent person is good or bad? Of course, everybody agrees that it is bad. But it is bad not only because of its bad consequences, but because it is bad in itself. And that is why everybody accepts, everybody agrees that it is bad, it must be avoided. So, to summarize, I should say that there are two major approaches or divisions in ethics: meta-ethics and normative ethics. And of course, there are different approaches in meta-ethics, and there are different approaches in normative ethics. As far as Islamic morality and Islamic ethics is concerned, Islamic ethics is also a combination of normative and normative ethics and meta-ethics. If you pay attention to the works produced by Islamic moral scholars, you will find out that their works and their books cover all these areas. They cover normative ethics, and they also cover meta-ethics. So we must pay attention to both these divisions of ethics. For example, if you pay a glance at the ethical works produced by Muslim scholars, you will see that some of their discussions deal with the nature of goodness and badness. And there was a very deep discussion among theologians at certain period of Islamic history about the nature of goodness and badness. Some schools of thought, like Mu'tazila, were of the view that goodness is what that is discovered by human intellect. And there were other schools of thought that were of the view that goodness cannot be discovered by human intellect. It is God who can tell what is good and what is bad, what is wrong and what is right. So these discussions, the discussions produced by Muslim scholars about the nature of goodness and about the nature of badness, this discussion could be a meta-ethical discussions. And of course, this discussion cannot be followed in normative ethics. These discussions are followed and can be followed in meta-ethical discussions. And there are also other discussions in Islamic moral books, for example, about the duties of Muslims. What should a Muslim do in regard with his fellow beings? What should you do in regard with your own self? What should you do in regard with your Creator, God the Almighty? And of course, Muslim scholars prescribe certain prescriptions for every situation. They tell you what to do with the society. They tell you what to do with yourself. They tell you what to do with God. So the Muslim scholars have covered all these areas. And these discussions are actually normative discussions, and they are related to normative ethics. So as a result, we can find out that Islamic morality is a combination of normative ethics and meta-ethics. And if we want to study Islamic ethics completely and comprehensively, we must deal with all these two branches of ethics. And to do so, first of all, we must study the Western ideas and Western theories about meta-ethics and about normative ethics. And we must assess their points of views very carefully and very critically. And after that, we must assess and we must analyze the Islamic theory developed by Muslim scholars. We will not be able to deal with the Islamic theory produced by Islamic scholars unless we deal with the theories produced by Western schools of thought. And that is what I intended to say. To summarize my words, once again, I should say that today I talked about the different kinds of ethics. I pointed out that ethics in the West is divided into two portions, into two parts. One is meta-ethics and the other is normative ethics. And I also pointed out that in meta-ethics, there are different schools of thought, such as divine command theory, emotionism, cultural relativism, and the school of thought that supports self-evident truths. And as far as the normative ethics is concerned, in normative ethics, again, there are many approaches. For example, there is the utilitarian approach, and there is also the deontological approach. I also pointed out that Islamic ethics is a combination of these two types of ethics. It is you can find the meta-ethical elements in Islamic morality. You can also find the normative elements in Islamic ethics. In order to study Islamic ethics in a comprehensive manner, in a complete manner, you need to study the different approaches in ethics and the different divisions of ethics. Unless you have studied these divisions fully and completely, you will not be able to understand Islamic ethics and to understand Islamic morality. In order to do so, we will, inshallah, in our coming sessions, deal with the theories that are prevalent in the West in regard with the metaethics, as well as with the normative ethics. And we will also analyze these theories. We will also, to the extent we can, inshallah, we will critically assess these theories, and we will also present the Islamic idea in this connection. Thank you very much.